Hello, and welcome to a Lightspeed Short Shot. My name is Allison Bell Buse, pleased to be your muse for this flash fiction podcast. Fragments of a Symbiotic Life, your first short shot this month, is a tale of Procyon brotherhood and connection, written by Will McMahon and narrated by Paul Bamer, coming up right after this message. Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
And now, Paul Bamer.
Fragments of a Symbiotic Life by Will McMahon. I was born normal enough, except that I was 4 days late, which isn't so much, and slightly jaundiced, which isn't unusual, and had a raccoon for an arm, which is admittedly strange. It wasn't my whole arm. I was human to the elbow, and it wasn't a whole raccoon. There were no back legs. At the joint where my left humerus was meant to meet radius and ulna, the vertebra of the raccoon's spinal column began instead. The obstetrician was, understandably, a bit put out. The raccoon was a surprise, you see. My mother was young and healthy, so there was no reason for a third trimester ultrasound. The last peak they got was at 22 weeks, an anatomically typical fetus on its way to becoming a presumably normal baby. Raccoons, it happens, only take 9 weeks to gestate. If they'd looked after week 30, but of course they didn't. It wasn't so bad at first. There was the shock. Yes, there would be, I suppose. And the shame, bringing that home to a suburban cul-de-sac with its sterile lawns and well-manicured golf course, where the woods used to be, and list of HOA-approved pets, which certainly did not include raccoons. But newborns are a lot of work. Swaddle them, nurse them, rock them to sleep. Not much time for heavy thinking. Feeding the baby boy? Sure. Give the baby raccoon a little formula, too. Fine. The neighbors even held back their complaints in sympathy. For the first few months. You see the problem, though. A human takes 16 to 25 years to reach physical maturity, depending on what you're counting. A raccoon takes a year? Maybe? I don't remember my brother well. My parents get upset when I call him that, or bring him up at all, really. But I've seen pictures from the album they keep in the attic. And I have fragments. A woman at the park yelling at me after my brother bit her daughter. Me crying that I wasn't the one who did it. My brother snarling. My mother coming to save us. Rolling around in the snow one bright morning, the flakes frosting his fur, his two little hands working alongside my one as I tried to teach him how to make snowballs. Laughing. The smell of the canned tuna my parents fed him. Sour, like his breath. I was 4 when they decided to amputate. I remember waking up in the hospital. After, fluorescent lights and the sharp smell of antiseptic. It's my clearest early memory. I was so confused, rubbing the stump of my elbow. Where's brother? Rubbing it over and over. Crying. My parents told me he'd gone to live with other raccoons where he'd be happy. That just like I'd be getting a prosthetic arm, the doctors gave him little back legs so he could finally run and be free. I didn't realize until I was 12. I felt so stupid. You can understand their decision. My spine is still bent from extra weight. My brother never once bit me, but he'd go after other children. We didn't have many friends. I'd put his tiny hands in my mouth like a normal kid might suck their thumb. The doctors thought it was stunting my development. But that's the problem, isn't it? My parents, the doctors, they only saw me, a young boy with an unprecedented disability. People still think that way when I tell them. They're usually sympathetic, kind, but they only see me, one broken human. Never him. Never the other. I don't really feel disabled. Prosthetics have come a long way. I've got great function in my left hand. I really only take it off before bed. Then I sleep with a little stuffed raccoon tucked under my arm. And sometimes, when I'm having a really bad day, I eat tuna straight from the can and it makes me feel better. I've spent a lot of my life trying to look past it all. But more and more these days, I find myself wondering if maybe what happened to me wasn't an isolated incident. If other animals might need to find somewhere new to be born, with so many of the old places gone. If something is changing humans, telling us we can't cut ourselves off from everyone else any longer. That maybe the non-human doesn't deserve to die, while the human lives. And I rub my arm and peer inside strollers as they pass on the street, and I wonder if I was only the first. And there, just now, across the park and against the setting sun, I see the hazy form of a child running through a field of wildflowers. And it may be the long shadow of evening, or it may be the squint of my eye against the final blazing light of day, but just for a moment, I see the spread of outflung hands and swear they could be wings.
You have just heard Fragments of a Symbiotic Life by Will McMahon, narrated by Paul Bamer.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Linsky.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
This story was taken from the pages of Lightspeed Magazine, which is edited by John Joseph Adams. The podcast is produced by Skyboat Media, and the story and podcast are copyright 2024. Post-production was by Jim Freund, and our music was composed and performed by Jack Kincaid. Once again, I am Allison Bell Buse, and I hope this story gave you a new point of view. Thank you for listening.
Lightspeed.